What I was about to say a moment ago was, I want you to imagine today that your dad had a second choice, a second chance at parenting. Now, I understand that I don't know most of your dads. I haven't met them. So I'm really going out on a limb here to say what your dad would tell you if you had a second chance at parenting. But I kind of want to surmise or pull out some principles out of Solomon's relationship to his father David so that we might grapple with this idea of getting a second chance at parenthood and whether or not we are actually doing what our dad would tell us if he were alive or able to speak to us today. Solomon was deeply indebted to his father David. David was a godly man. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. The neat thing about David's life is often we read about kings after him who walked in his ways. Solomon is the first one who did this. And we see this in 1 Kings chapter number 3, that Solomon was walking in the ways of his father David. 1 Kings chapter 3, if you're not there, I'm going to be there momentarily. In the process of God's dialogue with Solomon in this text regarding wisdom and his request for wisdom, we learn a little bit about parenting, the David principles that Solomon learned from David. This is verse number 3 of chapter number 3 of 1 Kings. 1 Kings 3, verse number 3, hopefully you're there and can follow along as I read aloud. Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burnt incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he hath walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I'm a little child, I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people. It cannot be numbered for or counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk, and I will lengthen thy days." I'd like to give you from the life of Solomon today and his relationship with his dad and the things that we discover in this text, two critical things or lessons about walking in the ways of the Lord. I think these would be the same things that your dad would tell you today if he had a second chance to parent you. So if your dad had a second chance, what would he tell you? To summarize, I would say this. He would tell you to walk in God's ways. This is certainly the lessons that Solomon learned from his own father, David. The first thing I'd like you to suggest this morning is I believe if your dad were here today, he would tell you to play by God's rules. Play by God's rules. Now, I want you to notice this in the text. In verse number 3, the Bible says that Solomon loved the Lord. It shows that David's parenting did have some effect because we know that David loved the Lord. And David was a man after God's own heart. And here Solomon seems to be following in his father's footsteps. Specifically, verse number 3 mentions that he's walking in the statutes of David his father. Verse number 3 mentions then walking in the statutes of David. Then I want you to jump all the way to the last verse that we just read a moment ago, verse 14 of this chapter. "If thou wilt walk in my ways, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as thy father David did walk." Here is mentioned the word statutes again and the word commandments. The word statutes means an ordinance, a limit, or a boundary. This is the nature of rules. They provide boundaries or limits to our behavior. The word commandments sits beside it in verse number 14. We're more familiar with the word, but it's the same thing. Commandments are God's rules for living. So Solomon had a choice at life, and so do you. You and I all have a choice whether or not we're going to play by God's rules for life. Will we follow God's rules or our own? Now, I want to believe today, if your dad were here, he would tell you to follow God's rules. Now, I would say that's even the case if your dad is an unbeliever. Your dad never knew the Lord. I would like to believe that at this point on the far side of life, looking back on it, he would say, you know, if I could go back and do it differently, I would do it so that you are following. I would encourage you to follow God's rules because I've learned a little bit about life. And certainly I would want to anticipate that if your father has crossed over to the other side and knows more about a larger perspective, he would tell you to follow God's rules. And certainly that's the case if your father was a believer and he's lived his life for the Lord, then he would tell you, live life by God's rules. Play by God's rules. And if I'm going to be able to do that, then I need to understand a couple of things. If I'm going to play by God's rules in life, and I think they're indicated, again, in the same verses. Remember, just touched on the word statutes and statutes here. I want you to focus on the word walking. You find it in verse number 3. And then we find it again in verse number 14 twice at the beginning of the verse and then at the end of this quote on the board here. Thy father David did walk. David did walk. I want to suggest to you that playing by God's rules, it's a walk. It's not a one-time decision. I have to... walking is reiterated steps. I just keep doing over and over the same thing to get to my destination. Thankful for walking. Thankful that I can get from one place to another and that people don't have to carry me there. Hey, but if I'm going to follow God's rules, I need to walk at it on a daily thing. It's a daily choice to follow God's way and not my own. Isaiah warned us about this, right? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, we have that bent about us. We like to go our own direction. So if I'm going to walk in the statutes of the Lord, if I'm going to follow God's commands, I'm going to choose to walk, to reiterate my steps daily in the same thing that I did yesterday, follow God. I got to keep doing it. There are watershed events in all of our lives, great steps forward for the Lord and commitments. But when it comes to obedience, it's just the next decision in front of me. Will I choose to go with God or will I not? So will I play by the rules? I want to ask you, are you consciously choosing to follow God's command with your life? Are you obeying the rules? You know, all of us, to a certain degree, chafe. Doesn't matter what age we are, we chafe under rules. Don't like to be told what to do. I'll figure this out on my own. Thank you very much. But following rules is often, almost always, to our benefit. I'm thankful for something I remember from high school. I had a friend. He was a preacher's kid. Third kid in a preacher's family. Preacher had a daughter to start, and then he had three sons. And this is the youngest, the baby in the family's name was Brad. He not only happened to be the preacher's kid, he happened to be the next door neighbor. And so we had some interaction growing up with the preacher's kids. They were a little bit older than us, about 10 years or so, but we did have some influence. I remember going to Christian school, and Brad would have been in high school, and I would have been much younger, elementary, as he was getting closer to graduating. But I remember somebody asking me one time, and we played for a little while. I think in 7th grade, and he was in 12th grade, so maybe he was 5 years apart for us. But we played on the same soccer team, and somebody on the soccer team asked him and said, don't you ever get frustrated with the preacher's home? You know, you got all those rules to live by, and dad is this, and dad is that. He's all up in arms about this other player on the team was, about how hard it must be to be in the preacher's home. And Brad, you're a disciple. That's the same person, 17, 18. He said this. He said, I learned that rules are kind of like a fence around the road. When you learn to play inside the fence and play safely there, then God broadens the fence. I thought, what a great idea for us to do. Rules are like fences. They keep harmful things out. They keep us from getting into harm's way. And inside the fence, there's free play. You can do whatever you want inside the rules. Man, you get a free time. And we did. We go over to the church yard in the big hedge. All the way around the yard. We throw baseball back and forth and we play pickle. You guys know pickle, right? Run back and forth.
They threw the ball, we run. All we did was run. But we thought it was great. And we had a great time inside the yard. Hey, but there was danger outside the yard because right outside the hedge was a high bank. You get in the high bank, that's not a safe place to play. But if I learn to play inside the rules, boy, there's free play in there. And this is the thing about life. As you grow and develop, the fences broaden a little bit more. And there's still lots of area of free play. But, boy, it doesn't matter whether you're a kid or an adult. Boy, people keep on the jump fence. Get out and play the road. And then they want to get in trouble that they do. So, hey, listen, if your dad were here, I am pretty convinced he would say to you today, play by God's rules. Hey, play by God's rules. And it's a one thing. You got to do it every single day, but it's something else he'd tell you about it. He'd also tell you, hey, it's worth it. We ready for that? Where is it? Yeah, there it is. I was hoping that would come up. It's worth it. It's worth it to follow God. Verse number 14 said, walk as your father David walked. I will lengthen your days. There's a promise associated if you will obey the statutes and commandments of the Lord. Solomon, if you just do what your dad did, it will be worth it because I will lengthen your days. Immediately, upon reading that in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse number 14, the thing that occurred to me, you know, that's always the promise that God is attaching to obedience. He's always blessing obedience in the Bible, and one of the chief ways he does this, right, is that if you'll honor your father and mother, your days are going to be long upon the earth. This is Ephesians chapter 6. Verses 2 and 3. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Hey, longevity. It is worth it to pursue a life of obedience to the Lord. Now, are you keeping the rules?
Hey, do you always tell the truth even when it's not convenient or comfortable? Hey, do you avoid taking God's name in vain even when no one else in the group cares whether you do or not? Are you keeping the rules? Do you deal with hatred in your heart? Dealing with it like a cancer, like Jesus said it was, it is the very seedbed of murder. Are you treating it that way? If you're a dad and he were here, I think he'd urge you to do those things. He'd urge you to play by God's rules if you want a long life. Earl Woods was an amateur golfer who invested a great deal of time teaching his only son to golf. In 1978, at the age of 2.5, Earl's son Tiger putted against comedian Bob Hope in a television appearance on the Mike Douglas Show. At the age of 3, Tiger shot 48 over 9 holes at the Cypress Navy course. I still can't do that. At age 5, he appeared in Golf Digest and on ABC. That's an incredible program. By the age of 15, Tiger had won the Junior World Golf Championship 6 times. But in light of the scandal that erupted in the home of Tiger Woods in 2010, I would wonder if his dad could not wish to go back and have a second chance at parenting. And I just maybe imagine that Earl would say to his son that playing by the rules is just as important in marriage as it is in golf. Just maybe, if your dad had a second chance, wouldn't he just say, walk in God's ways? The second thing I'd like you to see that from the life of Solomon's relationship with David and what I believe your dad were to say to you, should he be here today and have a second chance at parenting, is he would tell you, maintain your integrity. Maintain your integrity. You might need to flip over a chapter. The next verse is from 1 Kings chapter 9. I believe it's also on the screen, I'm not positive. But 1 Kings chapter 9 and verse number 4 says, if thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, in the integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and wilt keep my statutes and my judgments. So here the Lord is speaking, and he's saying, if you'll just follow David, and you will walk in the integrity of heart. Maintain your integrity. Now, what is integrity? I think most of us have a general idea of what it is. The Bible says it's steadfast adherence, not the Bible, but a dictionary says, a steadfast adherence to a strict ethical code. Interestingly, the word integrity is related to the mathematical term integer. An integer in mathematics is a whole number. And it really parallels the Hebrew meaning of the word integrity, which just means wholeness or completeness. There are no gaps in a person of integrity. One area of his life faces another area of his life, and they both say the same thing, according to Ken Collier. Integrity then means whole or complete. He's the same person no matter where he is, no matter what he's doing. I don't have to tell you, do I, that integrity is greatly lacking in our country. If integrity were a hotel, the sign out front would always read vacancy. From Watergate to Deflategate, people are fudging to get ahead. And it doesn't matter whether we're talking about Lance Armstrong, Barry Bonds, or Tom Brady. Some of the best athletes in the country have stacked the deck in their favor. And it's not just in athletics. It's in politics, the same kind of thing happens. In fact, it touches just about every area of our culture. It's hard to tell who is telling the truth and who is squeaky clean and who's not. But I imagine if your dad could get your attention today, if he could talk to you, if he could shout at you, I'm pretty sure he'd say something like this: "I taught you better than that. You're a Smith for crying out loud, or you're a Gradwell for crying out loud, or you're a Doherty. We do things differently. We keep our word, and don't you ever forget it." Maybe that's just what my dad would tell me. When Solomon reflected on the integrity of his father, several character traits came to mind. This is back in chapter number 3, verse number 6. We see Solomon speaking about his dad. Solomon said, "Thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee a certain way." Here's how David walked. He walked in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart. I'd like you to consider those three aspects of character because they're critical to integrity. The first one, and the obvious one, if I would be a person of integrity, I have to be a person of truth. This is the character of integrity. I'm a person of truth. If your dad were here, he'd tell you to tell the truth. Sometimes I talk to people and say, I bet your parents would say something like this, right? If your parents were here, they'd say, tell the truth even when it hurts. The word truth here means truthfulness, and it suggests more than just telling the truth. It talks about being, it suggests that you have faithfulness to the truth, or somebody who's trustworthy, a person who can be dependent upon. That's a truthful person. He's trustworthy. And God wants you to live that way. He always wants you to tell the truth. You know, this is not an easy thing. The older I get, the more the Holy Spirit begins tapping me on the shoulder and says, you know, you're shaking that just a bit, aren't you? To favor yourself. To make yourself look better than you are. So, I get humble when I have to talk to God about that and ask to be a truthful person. Because inherently, since the fall, all of us want to shave things and hide under fig leaves all the time. And we really need help to speak the truth. So what's the answer? What's the hope for any of us to tell the truth? We live in a culture that doesn't tell the truth. And the answer is the gospel. The answer is the gospel. Unless something happens on the inside, there's going to be very much desire to tell the truth. That's like all these wonderful Ben Bell songs around town. Now, I have nothing against be kind. Be kind. But my wife and I always say, why? Why? I don't feel like being kind. Would you speak kind? Don't get upset anymore. I think the message is good. Be kind. I hope you're kind. You kind of just right on your kindness. And you want neighbors to be kind to you. Nothing wrong with kindness. But why? Why be truthful? Why be kind? The answer is the gospel. I have to have an internal change in my heart to make you want to be kind. To make you want to be truthful. And that's why Jesus Christ is so important. I didn't want to tell the truth until I understood the cross and I understood what Jesus had to pay because I didn't tell the truth. Because I am a liar. And the Bible says that all liars shall have a heart laid at the foot of the fire and brimstone, which is the second death. How am I going to be a truthful person? I need an internal transformation. I have to want to tell the truth. An amazing thing happens.
times did I tell him, I'd like to be forgiven for my sins. I'd like to be reinstated in integrity in my relationship with the Father. And immediately upon asking God for that kind of help and forgiveness, I'm reinstated. My integrity in the inside is restored. And from my heart, I want to be kind. And from my heart, I want to be truthful. And from my heart, I want to be a different person. But I didn't want to be that before the gospel. The only way I'm going to be a person of integrity over the long haul is if I meet up with the gospel. I don't know where you are. Have you personally come to God with your heart and said, my heart is full of holes. It's not whole, it's not complete. I have gaps in it. Because there are times when shame and truth is to my favor. There are times when I'd rather not tell the truth. And you won't always want to be a person of integrity until you meet the cross. And you understand what God did for you. And then you can be saved and transformed. Until then, you'll always want to share the truth. Just like we've been hearing in the news recently about a man named Brian Williams. Right? Holds one of a prestigious position as the anchor of NBC Nightly News, one of the three big chairs, right? CBS, ABC, and NBC. The end of the story is this: about February, the news has come out that he's been shading a little bit some of the truth, especially about him being embedded with the U.S. military during the invasion of Iraq in 2003, where he supposedly was flying on a helicopter that took rocket propelled grenade. When, as the truth came out, he was on such aircraft. In his words, he's misremembered some things, but actually, an internal investigation conducted by NBC found that there were a string of untruths. Not about the news stories he was casting, but his recollection of how close he was to those news stories. So this week, I think it was on Thursday, we learned that he's going to be dismissed from his NBC Nightly News chair, and he's got a new position now with MSNBC. And Lester Holt will be taking his position. Why? Thankfully, some people are still enough integrity in our society and say, that's a problem. That's an issue. And it needs to be corrected. Truth. Integrity. Hey, if your dad were here today, I think he'd be telling you, maintain your integrity. There'll be another report like this. Tell the truth. That's the kind of character of integrity. Something else that Solomon mentions about the integrity of his dad, not just that he was truthful, but number two, that he was righteous. Truth, then righteousness. Righteousness refers to holding to an ethical standard. And in this standard, it's God's standard of what's right and wrong, but specifically, righteousness refers to my relationship with other people. Am I righteous? Jesus would put it this way. He said, do unto others what you want them to do unto you. Treat others the way you want to be treated. So that's righteous. I'm behaving properly to my friends and neighbors, whether I know them or not. Righteousness. That's a part of integrity. It does no good, it does no good to parade your piety and come in and pray prayers and sing songs and then go out into a restaurant after this and the waitress messes up the order and you give her a piece of your mind. But to chew her out or to put her down or to make her feel bad, hey, that's an integrity issue. You're not walking in righteousness. The character of integrity is first truthful, the secondly righteous. I'm going to treat other people the way I want to be treated.
So how did you respond to the government agency this week that lost your paperwork? How to go with the doctor who messed up your prescriptions? Integrity says, I will not feel good about myself unless I've treated others the way I want to be treated. Righteousness. Verse number 6 also mentions a third area. David, Solomon says about David that he walked before the Lord with uprightness of heart.